Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Welcome one, welcome all to a very special edition Blog of the Boys Roundtable. It is Sunday, January 29th, 2023, 9:35 p.m. Central Standard Time on the dot, which means we have to give a very special shout out to our BTBers that are staying up late to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and, of course, the Super Bowl, because it has officially been set. This is live on the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. For those of you night owls with us, you can, of course, catch the rewatch at your own convenience on the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. Please do subscribe. We're on the road to 20,000 YouTube subscribers. So thank you to all of us who are hanging out with us and have been for some time. You can also listen to the show on the Blog of the Boys Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a rating, write a review. My name is RJ Ochoa, and joining me in clockwise order, we have four horse people, because we're starting with the one and only Jess Navarez. Jess, what would you name your horse if you had one?
Oh, that's a good one. I would name my horse, I'm going to go Taylor. I'm going to say Taylor, and to nobody's surprise, it's because I love Taylor Swift. So
it would have to be a white horse.
I was going to say, it's only fair if it's a white horse, but you know, I digress.
All right. Well said. Danny Phantom, you have changed your background once again. The podcast audience cannot see that. This looks like more of an urban or modern home, excuse me. That's not the same Tahoe, you know, sort of soiree you've got going on, is it?
It's the default that comes with this. Yeah. I had a messy desk, so I had to resort to this.
Okay. It looks like a resort, to be very clear. Tom Ryle, if you had to ride an animal, would it be a horse or would it be something else? Tom, you're muted, so I'm sure we're missing an incredibly appropriate answer.
I was just repeating the question back to buy myself time. I don't know. How about a hippo, just for weirdness?
I mean, I feel like that's a pretty common thing, like in some parts of the world, for people to ride hippos. Maybe hippogriffs. New Hogwarts Legacy game's coming out. I don't know if that's an option.
I don't know. Have you ever seen a hippo in the wild? You really don't want to get on them.
I don't know the like extent of knowledge that you're telling us here, Tom, but it sounds like you've seen some things. Kevin Wolf says, Tom and Danny, two of the best. So sorry to you and I, Jess, for not getting that particular shout out. Jess, of course, was here without all three of us with Brandon Laurie and Tony Catalina on Friday because we got news. Was it Friday or Thursday? It was Thursday, actually, when it was announced that Dan Quinn would be returning to the Dallas Cowboys for his third season as defensive coordinator. We, of course, are here. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. Who cares? Eagles, Chiefs. We're all obviously rooting for the artist formerly known as the Dallas Texans. But we're here to discuss Jess Navarez, Kellen Moore not returning. We do have a video up here on the YouTube channel that people should go out and check out when they have their own time. But we wanted to have a live show to kind of decompress. Your thoughts, Kellen Moore spent four seasons as the Cowboys offensive coordinator, five on the staff as a whole. That first year as the quarterback's coach, had some seasons that, you know, the offense was incredibly efficient, incredibly pronounced, but obviously inconsistent over the last, you know, year specifically, partly leading to the Cowboys outing against the 49ers a week ago today. So are you celebrating? Like, where's your lab? Are you as happy as Tom's hippo, I guess, is maybe the question to ask.
I hate this part of the business because I always feel so awkward that somebody lost their job. I just feel like that's mean, right? But in the sense of it was the right thing for the Cowboys to do, I'm happy that they are taking the correct steps that they needed to take, because all second half of the season, I'll say, I was really breaking things down. I would go back and watch film, and there was just a lot of things with Kellen Moore that were too inconsistent. And I think when you have such a veteran experience with Dan Quinn on the defensive side of the ball, you need that veteran experience on the offensive side of the ball to really onset. You even have Bones Fossil with your special teams unit there. So you need that veteran presence on your offense. And it was just showing the lack of inconsistencies. And not to say he was all bad, right? I mean, he had one of the top scoring offenses in the league. It's not all bad, and we wish him well, but I think it was the right move by the Cowboys front office. So I'm not celebrating because I think that's mean, but I'm also, I'm not in disagreement with their decision.
Mean is also a song by Taylor Swift, just to kind of stay on brand with everything that you're talking about here. Lax Lifters, I see your question, and I'm sorry, I know you're licking your wounds. Lax Lifters, for our comment section, is a 49ers fan, so we appreciate the super chat. We'll get there in just a moment. We obviously have to touch on this. Jess, you said we wish Kellen Moore well. NFL Network reported that the Los Angeles Chargers had already reached out to him about a potential interview and that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are expected to have some interest. Obviously, they dismissed Byron Leftwich, the Chargers dismissing Joe Lombardi after their poor showing in the wild card round of the playoffs. Tom AJ says, only headline I wanted to see after the end of the season, I drank a beer emoji, talking about Kellen being fired. Fired is not the verbiage the Cowboys use, Tom, but this is a firing. This is them saying, we don't want you. You were under contract. We could have had you. We're good.
Yeah, and I think them saying that this was a mutual parting of the ways has all the validity of Mike McCarthy saying that Kellen Moore was his choice to begin with. This is kind of, I think, in a sense, Mike McCarthy is wresting more and more control over his staff. I think this is a major step forward. It's going to be very intriguing to see Mike McCarthy return to play calling, because if you look at his history at Green Bay prior to the season when Aaron Rodgers got injured, he had some really good numbers historically. And I also see a possible addition by subtraction, because I saw someone, I can't claim this as an original thought, but they said many times Kellen Moore seemed to be using his play calling and his scheme to force Dak into being a pocket passer. And I'm really excited to see if whoever the new offensive coordinator is going to be, plus Mike McCarthy, can really start to use Dak's mobility. He's able to get yards with his legs, but he's also so good at throwing, whether rolling right or left, by moving the pocket around and stuff. And I think that is one of the things that was underutilized. And, you know, we can talk about some of the other things, like no more running on first down when all you're getting is 1 yard in the future.
Danny, quick question to address Lax Lifters. Again, a Niners fan. Thank you for the super chat, Lax Lifters. Says, yo, I hate when seasons end with what ifs, but if Purdy was going to end up getting injured, it would be interesting to see how them boys would have done. Danny Phantom, just kind of quickly, do you think the Cowboys would have stood a chance today in the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia against an Eagles team that was kind of not flat offensively? I mean, they weren't asked to do much. Do you think Dallas would have stood a better chance than the Purdy-less 49ers?
Well, I mean, I think they would have stood a chance, because whenever you have Dak Prescott as your quarterback, you stand a chance. And, you know, it all depends on which Dak we got. But I honestly think it could have been ugly, you know, because the Eagles look like they were really impressive. And I think that the way that they handled, and granted, San Francisco, you know, they were having issues with Purdy getting injured. But you can see they were the better team. So I don't know. I think it could have ended up being a more humiliating exit for the Cowboys if it would have been a game like Prescott had last time around.
Well, along those lines, Tom, you mentioned how a new offensive coordinator, to get back to the Kellen Moore discussion. Tom, you touched on how, you know, maybe a new OC, granted Mike McCarthy is expected to call the plays, but a new offensive mind, new offensive system, whatever the case may be, maybe a benefit to Dak Prescott. But Jess, I'm going to start with you here, because Danny just said, like, hey, you know, we don't know what Dak we would have gotten. And I hate that is a fair question right now. So how much blame does Dak Prescott deserve here? Scott Linehan is out. Jason Garrett is out. Kellen Moore is out. The common denominator at this point in time, 7 years in, is Dak Prescott. Soon enough, Zeke Elliott might be out. Amari Cooper out. Dez Bryant out. Jason Witten out. Like, he is the mainstay, and we keep talking about how it's not enough. We all believe in Dak Prescott, but at some point, the blood has to be on his hands.
Yeah, I don't think Dak goes without fault. I think when you have that many interceptions in a season, and again, we can go back, we can break down every single one, and they're not all his fault. So what does that tell me? That tells me that is in direct correlation with your offensive game plan and it not being a scheme that fits your offensive weapons, including Dak Prescott. So for me, when I look at everything, and yes, Dak has gone through his fair share of coaches at that point, but you also have to look at Kellen Moore really being the last lingering touch of the Jason Garrett era for this Cowboys team. And Mike McCarthy really putting his stamp on what this team is now is essentially, you know, granted, we don't know what the Cowboys front office discussions look like, but giving full control for that Mike McCarthy era to completely take over. I feel like Kellen Moore was just the last piece of that. And it was confusing. It was a confusing scheme. When the game plan would work, it was magnificent. It was great when the play calling was not predictable and you were using your tight ends and you were using the 1-2 punch with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. When the O-line play was great, everything would operate fair. But then where would that go the next week? It was just so inconsistent to where I feel like a lot of the strengths that you have on that offense were never played up. I mean, you had a Michael Gallup that nursed back to health, and where was he? Was that a Michael Gallup choice? No, of course not. It's not any player's choice to be off the field. To me, that's a lack of a game plan from an offensive coordinator, that it just comes from inexperience. To me, it just seemed like an inexperienced play caller. And I'm excited to see what Mike McCarthy can do. If that's really what's going to happen, I'm excited because he's had success. As soon as I heard this, I went back, I looked all the Green Bay stats from the time Mike McCarthy was making the play calls, and it's really good, and it makes me feel more positive going into this very long offseason that we now have to endure.
Just for context, Mike McCarthy was the play caller for the Green Bay Packers for the majority of his time as the team's head coach. There was a stint in 2015 where Tom Clemens handled it. We'll, of course, be talking about this storyline all offseason long, to your point, Jess. Brian, thank you for noting in the comment section, thank you for the super chat specifically, that Doug Nussmeier is gone as well. That is true. The Cowboys now have 8 staffers total, including Kellen Moore, that will not be back in 2023. 6 contracts they chose not to renew. And, of course, the Moore and Nussmeier news coming out today. On Sunday specifically. Danny, you have not been the biggest Mike McCarthy advocate. I think that's fair to say. I said this in the video that we put up earlier about this. I like this, and I think you'll agree, because this puts everything on Mike McCarthy. This is a critical year, 2023, for the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott included, specifically if they don't choose to extend him or restructure him in any way, shape, or form. And so I kind of like, you know, the McCarthy's going out Sinatra style. I mean, this is his way. Like, if the Cowboys were going to bring in Mike McCarthy and say, look, dude, you made your way in the NFL. You kind of built your name off of offensive success. And we never got to see Mike McCarthy, the play caller, throughout the era that is his regime, however long that winds up being. That would have been a failure. I mean, that would have been like hiring Dan Quinn and not letting him, you know, control your defense. And so at the very least, we're going to get to see that, and whether or not they can sink or swim. Is that not fair, Danny Phantom?
Sure, it's fair. But honestly, I don't want to see it. I did see it. I saw it in his final season in Green Bay. And I didn't like it. And I think, you know, talking about Kellen Moore, I think, you know, to speak to kind of what Jess said about the inconsistencies, I totally agree with her. You can see the inconsistencies down the stretch. But when I hear her say that, what I'm hearing is Dak Prescott's inconsistencies. You know, I also watched the film too. And I feel like there are a lot of... One thing I love about Kellen is he gives Dak opportunities. And I think if you look at the plays and watch them close and do the Kurt Warner, you know, study ball thing, you see those opportunities. And that's what really kind of upsets me about this decision is I feel like we're taking that away. I don't think people realize just how easy he made the game for Dak Prescott. And so now we're not going to have that. And moving on to Mike McCarthy, I don't know what that's going to be like. Maybe it's better, but Kellen Moore, you know, whether people want to admit or not, was a very good play caller, and he has the resume to show to prove that too. So I think sometimes change for the sake of change is not good. I think if you really go back, I will ask Cowboy fans to go back and watch the last couple seasons of McCarthy, and it was not fun to watch. And I mean, maybe people see it differently, but I feel like he puts too much on Aaron Rodgers, and I feel like he even tried to do this with Dak, where he was basically every presser, he's like, I want him to let it rip. I want him to do that. And I think I just don't want to get in a situation, especially if he picks somebody like Tolzien or somebody that's just going to be a stand there, really let McCarthy do it. I worry that it's going to be, he's just going to put everything on his quarterback. There's going to be no creativity, no motion, no dress, nothing to help Prescott out. And it makes me worry that we're actually going to be a worse offensive team. So that's my biggest fear.
I'm with you, Danny, and Tom, you worded it this way in Slack, like the grass is not always greener on the other side. And you said change for the sake of change. I think there had to be change. Like the phrase I've been using is the water had to escape somewhere, Danny, right? Like the water that the dam of this season held up. You could not just run it back, which is why I think we're seeing all the changes. To your point, they may be, you know, micromanaging to some degree, but it kind of had to happen based on the way things went. Tom Vance Williams gives us a super chat, so thank you very much, Vance, and says, it is very crucial that Mike McCarthy hires an outside offensive coordinator. Danny brought up Scott Tolzien a moment ago. This offense was basically a mashup of McCarthy's last year in Green Bay and Linehan junk. We did see Tom Mike McCarthy year one bringing all his pals, all his friends, all the good dudes, and then he moved on. He learned, he adjusted, he adapted. Mike Nolan, everything with water under the bridge. That water just stayed under the bridge. It didn't go anywhere. And even Kellen Moore, though, was kind of a symptom of the old cowboy culture, right? Like, he was our guy. He was our favorite player, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe it's time to look outside the box, Tom. Bring in somebody who, I don't know, you haven't known. Maybe somebody who Dak Prescott didn't beat out for the job that he currently holds 6 years ago, 7 years ago at this point.
Yeah, and thank you for putting that particular comment up for me, because there's something in there that I saw somebody bring up. They did a screenshot from the 49ers game that showed the Cowboys have four receivers go to the sticks and all turn around to face Dak Prescott. That was a trademark of Scott Linehan that drove us insane. And I cannot understand how that play is still in the playbook. If the next offensive coordinator does nothing more than rip that out and go burn it in Jerry Jones's office so that we never see that play again, I think that is a step forward for the Dallas Cowboys. It's also the it was mentioned about Doug Nussmeier being gone. They've also replaced Skip Pete, the running backs coach, and Joe Philbin, the offensive line coach. This is an overhaul of the offense, which, if you look at what the Cowboys did last year, it's the offense that needs the overhaul, because the defense, I don't think we've got too many complaints about them. They had kind of a lull, say, in the second half of the season, but the defense is not the problem, and I'm very glad Dan Quinn is back. Yes, there's a risk with Kellen Moore because you don't always know what else you've got coming. I think the best thing would be for McCarthy to get somebody in who is creative, who believes in motion, who likes to move things around and come up with plays that help his quarterback, and then give McCarthy the play sheet to pick from, and let's see how that will work. But yeah, this may be the final rooting out of some of the things that we've been complaining about the offenses in Dallas kind of since the beginning of the Garrett era.
I mean, if you think about it, the Garrett, you know, sort of, I don't know, fingerprints bleed all the way through to today, obviously, with Scott Linehan kind of following and them working, you know, in parallel, and then Kellen Moore becoming a part of things. I mean, we've been kind of on this ride since 2007, Tom. Is your point. Jess, Brian, thank you once again for the super chats. There's only 19 rushes against the Niners, 12 in the first half, 7 in the second half, 0 runs from Malik Davis after Pollard got hurt. We were never out of that game. Good defense, so run it outside with Davis. And Jess, I think the point here is, you know, Cowboys fans want to see something different. I hate to call things like predictable just because, like, we don't know exactly what intentions are and things like that. But Malik Davis, at least the idea of him in the division around against San Francisco, represents a deviation, right? This is a Cowboys team and a Cowboys offense that has liked to do things they are very comfortable with, whether that's Stafford's they're comfortable with or Zeke, right? Like, Zeke's the guy, and we all love Zeke. Thank you for the good times. But, like, you know, Tony Romo said it best. This is a meritocracy. And, you know, Zeke Elliott wasn't winning that meritocracy this year from an explosion or an efficiency standpoint, yet he was the one kind of getting the bulk of action when Tony Pollard got hurt at least a week ago.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about Zeke too, what a lot of people forget, is he was playing injured this season again. I mean, this is the second year in a row this guy is still playing with an injury. I mean, he admitted even the week before the playoffs, he was still wearing the brace on his knee there. So again, you're not seeing a full healthy Zeke, which again could be a problem. And you know, it is what it is. It's not the same injury, but with the amount of physicality that he plays with and the workload that he has, especially when it comes to blocking, he's going to be getting chipped a lot. Guy's going to be getting, you know, more and more prone for injury, because that's just the nature of a running back position and how physical it really is. But, you know, what's interesting is with Malik Davis, I was surprised not to see him getting more action in that last game. I mean, as soon as Tony Pollard went down, I figured we were going to see that 1-2 punch, you know, just with Zeke and then Malik Davis. But it's going to be a very interesting offseason. Keep in mind, Tony Pollard's still a free agent, and things, I think, negotiation-wise got a little more interesting for him with the injury that he's now, you know, overcoming post-surgery. So I think that'll be an interesting conversation in the offseason. But, you know, I don't think Zeke is worn down or, you know, not valuable anymore personally, because again, like we said, the grass is not always greener, and I don't know. Maybe that's the hopeful Cowboys fan in me, and the Zeke the Freak days are just, they're not done for me. I think Zeke brings value, but if I had to pick between Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott production wise, obviously you go with TP. It's going to be a very interesting offseason to see what the running back situation looks like come the start of next season.
I don't think you're alone on Team Zeke, so to speak, Jess, but there's a lot of property available for rent, at least in the neck of the woods that you're hanging out, is how I feel. Danny Watsamata has given us a super chat, so thank you very much, Watsamata. Says, do you think from here on out Mike McCarthy is calling all the shots on coaching moves without Jones's interference? Now, Danny, this is the Cowboys. It is Jerry Jones's team, so there is sort of like an understood level of involvement. We don't have to relitigate the last 30 years of the Jones dynasty, so to speak, but does this not, Danny, again, suggest that Mike McCarthy is kind of, you know, at least influencing things a little bit more? And again, I know that you don't have a high level of faith in him, but that is kind of nice, right? Like to see the coach have some, you know, level of sway. I mean, is that not fair to say in even the tiniest sort of sense?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on if your coach is doing good things. I mean, I think that McCarthy, yeah, no, obviously this is clear. When we kind of even, I think Tom and I even talked about this a couple of days ago. It's like, you know, I just sensed in the pressers, I can kind of sense that McCarthy just really wasn't, you know, all in with Kellen. And so this isn't all too surprising, but yeah, you know what, let McCarthy go down with the ship, you know, let him have run the team he wants to, the way he wants to. I really think that, I mean, he's, to me, it's like you with the, whenever you're a head coach of the Cowboys, you don't never have full control. I mean, unless you're a Parcells or a Jimmy Johnson, there's always going to be a level of influence by the Joneses. But I will say this, I don't think it's happens with play calling. I do think it happens with personnel, like let's make sure Zeke is part of our team, even though he's averaging 2 yards per carry. So I don't like those things at all. And to me, McCarthy is a very easy coach for the Joneses in a sense, because they're able to push their ideals across. So, and honestly, I think that the closer that the Joneses get to running actual football stuff is the worse the Cowboys get. So I don't see anything good coming from this.
Tom, you have your hand raised. It is very polite of you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to add to Danny's point, any level of control the head coach has in Dallas is a season-to-season thing, because the Joneses will snatch it back if they think they need to. They'll, you know, they can be negotiated in or convinced or just sometimes kind of forced into giving it up. But they can always reach out and pull that back. So, you know, McCarthy's going to have to do something with this, or it's just going to, you know, go back to something we don't like.
Okay, let's blitz through some of these comments. We have a lot of people here tonight, so seems like a lot of people like to stay up late on Sunday nights. I don't know what's going on in people's lives. Obviously, no Cowboys games to talk about, though. But so Shane Davis says, if McCarthy were to fail at play caller, there's no turning back. It would mean cleaning house. If he hires an outside offensive coordinator, it would be safer and possibly more impactful, in my opinion. Just quickly, I want to focus on the first half of that. If he fails at play calling, there's no turning back. That's a good thing. Again, I mean, I recognize that would lead to not a fun fall, but like we would have a definitive answer, right? Like, and that's my point, is you have to get that definitive answer one way or another. You have to learn beyond a shadow of a doubt that Mike McCarthy is or is not the guy. What would suck is if Mike McCarthy was dismissed and we never saw him call plays, and then he wound up somewhere else and he was calling some elite offense. So we said, man, we had that in the building and let it walk.
What I don't get is how people can be so quick to discredit his play calling ability when he's been a coach for so long. Like, he's probably been a coach longer than the amount of time Kellen Moore's been born, and y'all are questioning him. I don't get that. I mean, the guy has experience. He has more experience than Kellen Moore ever had play calling. So again, at least give him a chance. If he fails, there's no way, and maybe I should knock on wood before I say this, there's no way it can be any more inconsistent than what we saw be the Cowboys' downfall of this season. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of the inconsistencies with the offense, because this team had so much potential this season, and I am so tired of the offense being the downfall. And that's a weird switch, because usually it's the defensive side of the ball. But Dan Quinn's back. I'm not worried about the defense. The offense, yeah, you're not going to get change unless you change it. And Kellen needed to go. I'm sorry. Kellen needed to go. I would take Mike McCarthy's play calling, not having seen it in Dallas, over Kellen Moore's, just from an experience standpoint alone.
I have a quick question I'm going to ask each of you, and you just get to answer it. No explanation, because we got to get through some of these comments. But, Jess, you kind of reminded me of something I wanted to write about. Everywhere you turn, it's like, this sucks, that sucks, McCarthy sucks, Kellen sucks, Dak sucks, Zeke is washed, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The Cowboys have won as many games as anybody in the NFL since McCarthy got here, except for the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in the Super Bowl once again. I mean, their offense has been among the very best as far as efficiency and all sorts of different metrics prove, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, something has to be elite, right? Like it can't just be like everybody sucks. So like, what is the bedrock of that? And again, I just want your answer, Tom. What is the one thing that you would bet on the most that is associated with the Dallas Cowboys?
I'd say Dak Prescott. You talked about how he's the common denominator. Well, he's the common denominator in all of that. And we've seen a lot of parts of the offense that don't seem to be giving him a lot of help because they're not putting the right resources in it.
Okay, so your answer is Dak, Danny Phantom. Would it be Dak or something else?
Will McClay.
Okay, so Will McClay. No offense to Will, but like not necessarily playing on Sundays, but that's a good answer. Jess, what is your answer if it's not Dak or Will McClay?
I mean, I have to go with Mike McCarthy. Like, he's your head coach now. He's your bedrock. And if Jerry Jones is going to stay true to what he told Mike McCarthy, and Mike McCarthy told us in that press conference, he's going to be here for a while. I mean, we lived through the Jason Garrett era for a while. Personally, I don't see Mike McCarthy leaving anytime soon. So for right now, as long as he is your head coach, he's your bedrock, because he sets the standard, he sets the culture, and that is what it is, whether we like it or not.
Okay, so Vance Williams, I like this, says Zeke is truly the last remnant of Garrett. That's an interesting way to put that. I hadn't quite thought of it that way. You could argue that Dak is in that sense too, but Loco Texas says Zeke is done. So, you know, a lot of actually really anti-Zeke comments here. So we'll just kind of AJ actually says, Jess, quit living in the past. Zeke looks like an 86-year-old running back. So 85 still spry. But 86.
I would love to see an 86-year-old running back. Like, can I just say that'd be very impressive?
Danny, quickly, Astro Joe says, what role should a new offensive coordinator have in picking personnel? My answer would be none, because again, you're supposed to like live and sing the Mike McCarthy song here in 2023.
Yes, none.
Okay, I don't know if that's sarcastic or not. Like, again,
it's no, it is. Okay. But I would like, since they didn't stick to one word, I wanted to say, my reasoning was, ooh, I want to say McClay, actually, if you look at he's the only guy, if you want consistency, he's the only guy that's doing his job successful year in and year out. McCarthy was terrible in 2020, and he was terrible the last couple of years when he got fired in Green Bay. Dak was not playing well this year. So if you're going to look at, you know, the one thing that the Cowboys can depend on, and it's that their ability to build a roster and bring in good players year in and year out. And I think everything else is wild cards. McCarthy may, he may be the guy. Maybe he brings the right guy. Maybe he's better. I don't know. Honestly, it's going to fall on the arms of Prescott. The Cowboys go nowhere without a good Dak Prescott. So I don't know. I just think that we're entering dark waters, RJ. I think this is going to be a really interesting, I hope interesting is the right word. I think it's going to be a very interesting year for the Cowboys to see where they go, because it could be end up one of those pushing the reset buttons, you know, come 2024.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
I would just offer, just to push back, and we'll talk about this as we get closer to the draft, obviously, like, I love Will McClay. Like, I'm the same way I love McCarthy or Dak, whatever, but like them, he has his flaws. I mean, we sat here for most of the season and lamented about two day two picks from a year ago and how they weren't helping the team, and Kelvin Joseph and Deshaun Wright. you know, Jalen Tolbert this year. And that's not to say they can't become contributors to the Cowboys in the future, but like, you know, we can't just be like, well, he hit on Tyler Smith, so boom, like, you know, check out the rest of the draft. Like, those are impactful things. Let's see here. Alex Chavez, thank you for the super chat. Says, unfortunately, I'm with, why is it unfortunate to agree with RJ? That, I don't like the presentation there. Unfortunately, I'm with RJ. I think Kellen Moore set us up for success, but unlike RJ, I think Dak may be what held us back. We will soon find out. I don't think Kellen Moore set anybody up for success, Tom. I think he orchestrated it. I think Kellen Moore is like a symphony conductor or whatever. What's the word I'm thinking of? The guy with the stick, you know what I'm talking about? Is conductor the right word?
Yeah, it's a conductor. The guy in front that waves his hand around.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. So
the,
like,
the maestro.
Thank you, Danny. You know, the band director. But like, my point is, Kellen Moore is not the dude, like, you know, playing the trumpet or the clarinet or the saxophone or the, you know, I don't know, the snare drum, but like, he is a part of the overall sequence, Tom. Like, I'm not trying to take away from him, but like, he's not on the field. Like, and again, I'm not trying to diminish the value of coaching, but like, he is a reason, but he's not, you know, a main reason in my mind.
Yeah. His job is to kind of put it together. And I love the phrase, putting his players in a position to succeed. That's, you know, that's his job. McClay and his people, their job is to get the right players. And the interaction is that the coaches tell the scouts, okay, here's what I need to make my offense or my defense work. I need this kind of player that fits this kind of profile. And they have to kind of put it all together. Oddly enough, it's so much easier to change out your coaches than it is your players. You know, you have contract limitations, you have dead money implications. You know, you can't just go out and money whip players to come in. You have a limited opportunity to do that in free agency, but you got to rely on the draft, and you know, you only get so many shots at that. So it's really important that the coaches figure out how to use the players. And if they fail to do it, then yeah, sometimes the team doesn't have much choice, but okay, we're going to have to try something different.
Okay, Tom. So Alex Chavez, thank you for the super chat. I don't know the point of this, but again, thank you for the contribution. Says, who do you hire behind him, Kurt Warner or Romo? They are both undrafted free agent quarterbacks who had incredible careers in the NFL. That's really the extent of what I can offer on that subject. Okay, I want to take us into this direction. Jess, AJ set us up. So there's a reason Quinn came back. Next head coach, just saying. Now getting to our next super chat here as I scroll down. Vance, thank you once again, says, can we talk about the elephant in the room? Is the front office letting Mike McCarthy screw up this season to fire him and elevate Dan Quinn? Jess, we've all heard the Sean Payton thing, blah, blah, blah. We survived. Give us buttons or stickers that say, I survived the Sean Payton rumors of 2022. They may once again live here in 2023, but that is a battle for another day. But the Dan Quinn thing, we all love Dan Quinn, but this is an elephant in the room. Dan Quinn didn't turn down head coaching opportunities 2 years in a row just out of the kindness of his heart, right? We can believe that, you know, he has, you know, quite the aortic pump, but that, you know, there's some selfish motivations, as there are for anybody involved in this business. And it is definitely possible, Jess, that Dan Quinn views that Mike McCarthy could be out in 2024 and he could inherit this team in this situation and this defense and stay with Micah Parsons forever and ever. Do you put any sort of life into that conspiracy theory, Jess?
You know, I love me a good conspiracy theory, but I really think it's an elephant in the room for the outside world, outside of the star. We've heard them talking about this situation last season when, you know, those conversations happened between Mike and Dan and the good relationship they have and the good rapport they have. Sure, if the opportunity popped up, you know that's your guy. If something happens with Mike McCarthy, I don't even think it's a question that we know that would be the next best opportunity. But do I think that anybody should coaching job? No, that's so ridiculous. Mike McCarthy has led this team to successful seasons back to back. Given 2020, yes, total fluke, but also you had your COVID year. How can any head coach for the start of their reign in Dallas be successful with the COVID year and all those restrictions? The way Mike McCarthy interacts with these guys in person is just so I can just see why it didn't work COVID year. But of course, Dan Quinn would be your next head coach if something happened to McCarthy. But I don't think like anything's being set up so Mike McCarthy can be in his final year. Again, you're talking about a guy that Jerry Jones obviously has value for in these conversations, because he talked about how him and Jerry can have these tough conversations. To me, I don't ever remember hearing Jason Garrett talking like that. And I don't remember those kind of conversations or things being said with Jason Garrett. And look how long he stuck around. So again, I don't think the Mike McCarthy era is going to be cut short to 3 or 4 years. I really think we are in it for a pretty long haul with Mike McCarthy. And if that doesn't work out, yeah, Dan Quinn, you're the next guy up if you're still around. But I also would like to point out the other vacancies that are now open within this Cowboys coaching position. You have your, your assistant head coach vacancy open. I would keep my eye on that. If you want to talk about Dan Quinn moving around potentially, I would keep my eye on that. I think that's pretty interesting.
Jess is talking about a bonus for Dan Quinn, an up in salary, add a new wing to the Quinn Manor. Jess Navarez is trying to do. Tom, I want to bring this one to you. Brian, thank you for the super chat. Says Jerry mentioned that a lot was on the line based on the results of next year. He's giving Mike McCarthy one last shot, and Mike McCarthy is betting big on himself. I like it. Tom, do you feel? I mean, I asked Danny this earlier, but do you feel like Mike is saying, look, I mean, if I'm going to go down, right, like because. It's unlikely that he would get a third opportunity to coach in the NFL. It's just a rare thing, even if you do have a Super Bowl ring. So if I'm going to go down, I do want to Sinatra style it my way. Like, I don't want to go down at the hands of little Kellen Moore, who's been a coach in the NFL for 5 years, right? Like, there is something respectable to that, even if it tanks and fails. Like, Mike McCarthy is at least wanting to live and die with his sleeves rolled up and him in the salt grinders or mills or whatever.
Yeah. And it also was just kind of like, Mike McCarthy saying, okay, Jerry, we kind of did it your way. Now we're going to do it my way.
Wow, changing the verses to Frank's song.
Yeah. But it makes sense to me. If I were a head coach and I thought I was a better play caller than the guy who's calling the plays, yeah, I'd be snatching that sheet out of his hand. There's a lot of ego in this position. You have to really think something of yourself if you are an NFL head coach. Even if you're not a good one, you've got to have a lot of ego about just being in that position.
Danny, Watsamata has offered us a super chat. Says, I think we need a Dak whisperer for quarterback coach, dedicated to technique and decision-making, and only one voice in his ear. Similarly, Anthony Gonzalez was nice enough to offer a super chat and says, just logged in, TLDR, bring in Kitna. TLDR for the older crowd, too long, didn't read. Danny, we're going to bring up 2 points here. This is one of them. John Kitna returning is like, there are 2 bits of catnip you can throw out into Cowboys Twitter and they will go off like crazy with retweets. Bring John Kitna back is one of them. Do you want to see that happen in any way, shape, or form?
No, they had a Dak whisperer and they let him go. So
that was just simple. Like, you know,
I don't want Kitna. That's what
Kitnip was the phrase, not Kitna. You're getting confused yourself now. The other one, Danny, was Bijan Robinson. That's been the name du jour over the last few days because Mel Kiper mocked him to the Dallas Cowboys. That has dominated our comment section. Cowboys draft him 26, blah, blah, blah. Bijan. I'm a Texas A&M Aggie myself, so I'll be accused like Tom being biased in that sense. Danny, should the Cowboys spend their first round pick on a running back? Why or why not?
So I'll get to that in a minute, RJ. I just wanted to, I wanted to touch on something. I think we're assuming that it's the Cowboys' decision to move on from Kellen. I don't think we know exactly what happened. And it's very possible that they had a conversation and there was some discussion about the power of the play calling. And it might've not sat well with Kellen. And if Kellen finds himself in a situation where he's having to relinquish some of his responsibilities and he has an opportunity to go to a team like, say, the Chargers, it could be very well that Kellen is making this decision himself. So, I mean, I want to throw that out there, too. But also, too, just about the conspiracy thing, I do think this would be one and done for McCarthy. I think, and I do think Quinn is lined up to be the next head coach. And you're right. It's like, let's just give him all of his opportunities, do what he can, see if he has it. I think the Joneses have this belief that he did it, a decade ago or so, that he has it in him, and the game hasn't passed him up. There are a lot of things that McCarthy does well, and I don't want to just beat down on him. But anyway, the first round pick, when you're picking 26, 20, it could be anyone. I'm not going to roll out a running back. You take the best player. It depends on who's
boring.
There,
so. It's too reasonable. Jess, Running back at 26. Yes, sir. Outrage.
Outrage.
So, but what if Zeke is gone and Pollard's gone?
Well, okay. Is that the situation? Because if that's the situation.
Yeah, I said it. I mean, that's like, I literally just said it. So, yeah.
I mean, you didn't set that up before though. So I'm just clarifying. RJ. Okay. Yeah. If that's the situation, sure. Running back at 26, I'll take it. If it's not the situation, you have one, at least one of them. No.
Tom, hullabaloo to you. Bijan Robinson at 26, whether or not Zeke or Pollard are on the team, what hypothetical is worth it to you if there's one?
Never draft a running back before day three, period.
Do you think, though, Tom, because that's a fair thing to say, do you think that we are molded in that because of what has happened? Like maybe we've gone too far. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe we are too jaded and too biased against the – like there are many examples of second or third round, you know, day two picks helping at the running back position immediately and there being a legitimate return on investment there. You know, the fourth overall pick is not, you know, likely to yield a return on investment worth it over the course of that rookie contract, but you could find that on day two.
Yeah, I just feel that the contributions of the running backs is more dependent upon the offensive line and the scheme and the play calling. And I just don't think that the incremental difference you get from the running back, whether it's day one, day two, or day three, justifies the result in the production. I mean, you get a day one running back and he averages 5 yards a carry. You get a day two running back, he may average 4.2 yards a carry. It's just, to me, I think that for with modern NFL offenses, you should put your resources in harder to obtain talents, you know, and like this year, I'm looking at wide receiver. I'm looking at offensive line. You know, I'm thinking looking at cornerback and I just don't see investing that much in a running back because I think they need to figure out how to make Dak work, not the running back position.
Okay. Let's pivot for a moment here. We are speaking on Sunday, January 29th after the conference championship game. Super Bowl 57 is set. The Kansas City Chiefs are the visiting team against the home team, Philadelphia Eagles, which thankfully we don't have to deal with the Eagles logo facing left on the left side and like facing away from, you know, the graphics in the middle of the screen. That has bothered me for a long time in a lot of ways. If that isn't super obvious. But that being the case, Danny, I'll start with you. How much will it suck if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, which they're 60 minutes away from doing? And if they were to do so, Danny, it's worth saying what the narrative would be. Their two Super Bowl wins would have come against the GOAT in one of his finest hours, in Tom Brady, obviously, and against the modern GOAT, to use Tom's word a moment ago, in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, their former coach. I mean, it would be, I mean, in a season, this has been the Madden season for the Eagles. All of their players are dominating, all pros, all, you know, Pro Bowls.
All right,
they have every single thing. So, like, how much will it suck? Like, contextualize it for me.
Oh, the words cannot describe the level of suckiness that we would be subjected to for this. You know, I try to be a grown up when I answer these questions, and you know, and talk about how the Eagles, you know, they have a good team and they've done a lot of things right. And you know, if it was a regular team, I would be very proud of them. And, you know, I would give them their props, but I just hate that team so much. And I hate their coach so much. And I honestly, you know, people will credit them for the way they just flip their, you know, their
team. They should. They deserve that credit.
And they deserve it. Absolutely. But it's not the way I would like to run my life and like to run, do things, even though, you know, people love the results. But, you know, I like the journey sometimes too. I like going about things the right way. And so I'm not envious of the Eagles process at all. The results, fine. Process, no. There's nothing about that team that I like. I think their fans are mean. I don't know what it's the highest. You know what? Before coming on here, you know, the Kellen Moore, my favorite coach, is moving on. The Eagles are advancing. And I stepped in cat vomit too. I mean, this has just been terrible.
I didn't know catnip thing was going to be so sensitive for you.
I think my granddaughter fed my cat some chicken nuggets that she shouldn't have. And now it's like, so anyway, that's how I would contextualize it. It's like stepping in cat vomit.
Danny, are you okay? I feel like you need a hug. I just know
you know what? That was a tough question. I just, and then to bring the Eagles in this, it's like, I don't know what RJ's trying to do.
What is the cat's name, Danny?
The cat, it's Octavia from some show my daughter likes. I don't know. The 100s.
Okay. I mean, you know, we'll all hug after this, to Jess's point. Like a
group, I'm gonna need one.
Big old like 90s sitcom group hug, you know what I mean? Where we like, you know, friends on three. We'll do that in a little bit. Vance is sending hugs your way, Danny. You've ignited the emotions and the thoughtfulness of the crowd. AJ said, Daniel, I don't know if that's actually your legal name, Danny. That is the meme from like whatever it was, 2015. Do you own white Vans, Danny? I guess while we're on the subject. I mean, that's whatever. I don't know if that reference is lost on you. It seems like it might be. Okay. Jess, how much will it suck if the Eagles, we have to reckon with this truth? Like, Danny can hate the question, but again, we're 2 weeks away from that being a potential reality that we have to live in.
All right. I'm on the opposite end of Danny in that I'm going to see my glass half full in what's happened recently, given we got a new Taylor Swift music video. Dan Quinn is acquired. Sorry, Danny. Kellen Moore is out. I'm good with what's happened this offseason. However, if the Eagles do win, the only thing that I can say would be a benefit is that it kind of lights a fire under the Cowboys' butts to really, really get it together and say they're not settling for a loss against this team next season because they cannot afford that kind of embarrassment. And that's exactly what it would be. Every game after that would be a prove-it game. And that's really the only benefit I see of it. Other than that, if the Eagles win, this Super Bowl didn't exist to me. Never happened. Never saw it. Don't know what you're talking about. Rihanna had a concert. That's really cool. Other than that, don't know what you're talking about. If the Eagles win, it didn't happen. For me, I'm gonna live in blissful ignorance about it.
Do you know who performed at halftime of their other Super Bowl victory, Jess?
No, not off the top of my head.
Was it Shakira?
That was the Chiefs win. It was Justin Timberlake. And I remember he had that moment where he took the selfie with the kid, and that was like a big old thing, like when he went up into the crowd. I was a little bit disappointed. Like, I love the Super Bowl halftime show, and JT's such like a great, you know, kind of like, you know, front
man. I'm not a JT fan, so I'm just gonna say it would make sense that the Eagles would win the Super Bowl with the JT halftime performance. Rihanna, I'm a big Rihanna fan, so really at this point watching for the commercials and the halftime show, because man, I don't want to see the Eagles win this one. I don't want to see it. It will make the offseason feel 10 times longer, and I don't want to go through that again. The Eagles fans on Twitter are already starting. I don't want to deal with them, RJ. I can't deal with them already. It's too much.
I will say, as a Houston Astros fan, when we won the World Series a few months ago, it was like, well, last time this happened, like, and I'm king of the last time stuff. I would feel a little bit guilty. I'd feel like, at what cost did I root for my Astros to win the World Series again? And then I would feel really guilty if I rooted for it in the future. And if they were to, you know, win it again, like in the future, like wonder, like, am I part of the problem here? Tom Alex offers a super chat. Thank you, Alex. And says, if Philly wins, it goes to prove that we need a better quarterback. I don't want to stick on the quarterback thing, Tom, but it does kind of prove Jess's point. I mean, it is such a copycat league. We do generally see the teams that have success that win the Super Bowl, teams try to model themselves after that. For that team to be in Dallas's own division, I do think there is an argument that would be embarrassing enough for the Cowboys to say, okay, we finally have to, you know, get off the proverbial pod and get active in free agency. The Brandon Carr thing was 11 years ago now.
Yeah, it is embarrassing. And I'm sure the Eagles are going to really be beating their chest about going through Daniel Jones, Brock Purdy, Josh Johnson, and a one-legged Patrick Mahomes if they get the Super Bowl victory. Luck is such a huge factor in the NFL. And the Eagles got handed such a heaping ton of luck today.
Even their strength of schedule all season long, just to add to your point, Tom, was not exactly, you know, intimidating. Mm-hmm. I mean, and some of that is the NFC Eastness and you know, the divisions that our division played. I mean, and Dallas had those opportunities too. I mean, so let's, you know, be fair in every sense. But yeah, mm-hmm. they got to play the AFC South. I mean, it was kind of a rough and tough year for teams playing the NFC East specifically.
Yeah, if Mahomes was healthy, I don't think this would be a very close game coming up. So we'll have to see how Mahomes recovers. And the Chiefs had a lot of injuries during the game, so I hope they all get a whole lot better, because as I said on Twitter, for the next 2 weeks, we are all Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Danny, I want to ask you each another Eagles question, so I'm sorry. You can pass if you'd like. But Vance says, you would think 30 years of no NFC title game would be motivation for the Joneses. Danny, I hate to say this, okay? And I tweeted this. I do think that relative to the division, you could even argue relative to the conference, the Eagles are the modern day standard. Since the Cowboys have last been to a title game or appeared in one or won one, whatever, they're all the same, obviously, 1995. The Eagles have been to 7 title games. They've been to 3 Super Bowls now. They've obviously won a Super Bowl. And again, it was a very impressive effort with Nick Foles and all the stuff, Philly special, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we have become the little brother, Danny. If you look from 2000 on, the Cowboys are the little brother. And that's a very bitter pill thing, you know, bitter pill to swallow. But I think it's objectively fair. And that bums me out too.
So is there a question?
Is that true? I guess I'm looking for a rebuttal. No. I'm looking for you to disprove my point. To be very clear,
I'm going to channel my inner Mike McCarthy and say we're nobody's brother. You know, you know what? The Eagles, kudos to them for their success, and it's fabulous what they've done and everything. But I'll tell you what, I'm fearful that the Cowboys would try to shake things. I know fans want to do it; they want to shake things up. But I don't know if we want the Joneses to be doing things like that. The one thing that the Cowboys do well, in my opinion, is the way they do build their roster. So if we got bad coaches, you know, and Dak's not playing well and all these, we got receivers that can't separate, whatever. If those are the issues, then to fix them. But I don't think we need to be trying to blow things up. And, you know, and I asked this question last year, too, when everybody was just really dumping on the Cowboys offseason. It's like, what move would you have wanted them to make? And it was crickets. It's like, you know,
people will say, trade Amari Cooper. That was the move.
Okay, not trade Amari Cooper will be the answer this year, I suppose. And but honestly, you know, I don't really think that, you know, that we're not missing out on like the Von Millers and stuff. I think the Cowboys are fine in that department. I just think that we just have to have our quarterback play better and when it counts. And I think that's all. And Dak's a great quarterback. And I don't want to be like, you know, we need to find a solution for Dak. Dak's a great quarterback. But Dak's going to have, he's going to need to play better when it counts. And I don't think that there's all this other overhaul stuff is necessary. There's a lot of good things that this team does. And I don't think we should just start shaking things up just because we're getting frustrated. You know, McCarthy 3 years in, still, we haven't passed divisional round. So what's going on? Let's just do something different. I don't think we want to do that. So to me, it's like, I don't know, you know, I don't want us to overreact. That's where you get yourself in trouble.
Jessica. Is it even trouble, Jessica? I don't know that.
That's so weird. I don't think you've ever called me that.
Are you in trouble?
I really don't know. That's how it felt.
Call me Daniel. I mean, you know,
RJ. Wow. My mom calls me that when she's mad. So yeah, I feel a little upset now. But no, what I was gonna say is I'm gonna agree with Danny here because I don't think the Cowboys are anybody's little brothers. I think the problem and the difference, the main difference, because you even look at the Eagles season compared to the Cowboys season, almost similar in a way. They lost their starting quarterback. They made it through with their Minshew magic that kept them in the season, kept them going for that number one seed. The Cowboys lose Dak Prescott and, you know, different timing, but Cooper Rush kept them in. The only difference is the inconsistency that this team had compared to the Eagles. The Eagles just executed when it mattered. So it's not like there's that much of a difference here. It's just the difference is the execution and the inability to be consistent with your execution. And so when that is nailed down, you're talking a lot more of a competitive season with the Eagles and the Cowboys. And then you add, you know, maybe even the no help Giants into the mix. Sure. We can add them in eventually. Commanders, they don't get to be part of this conversation, but no, I don't think it's anybody's little brother or what have you. It's nobody's underdog. It's nothing like that. This season, it came down to the Cowboys not executing when it mattered and not following through. The Eagles have done that, and that's why they are where they are. And that's the tough pill to swallow.
Our 49ers friend Lax Lifter says, two things I do not get about Texas obsession with H-E-B M-M. Danny, I don't know that you've ever had H-E-B or been to H-E-B. I mean, I guess not in your life. But I think Tom and Jess and I certainly would swear that H-E-B is the most superior grocery store that there is. Not a sponsor of ours, just we're Texas loyalists. Is that not fair to say, Tom?
It's a great chain. They can teach a lot of grocery stores how to do it.
Lax Lifters, I didn't anticipate on this direction, but it is kind of a weird roundtable. Says, I've never been to H-E-B. It is all I hear about from those who live in Texas. The Cowboys need to make changes. So much money in Dallas, and Cowboys need more. Howard Edward Butt is what that stands for, Lax Lifters, if you, I guess, wanted to
history lesson. It's H-E-B and Whataburger. If you live in Texas, those are kind of the two touchstones, and you drink Dr. Pepper. So that's just how it goes. And your barbecue is beef. It ain't pork. So
I will say I'm not a big Dr. Pepper guy, but I'm not like a big fan of Waco in general. So like I'm cool with it. I mean, it's cool. You know, whatever. Astro Joe says that H-E-B is the Buc-ee's of grocery. Also, an important staple.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, Danny. Danny, we'll get you down to the Lone Star State and, you know, kind of put you through the rite of passage.
So just tell me what aisle is the cleaner to clean up cat vomit.
That's right. Okay.
I think it's aisle 24.
Yes or no, Tom? Is Jalen Hurts better than Dak Prescott? Now, to be very clear, no, but none of us can win the argument, even if you say no. We can't win that argument online for until Dak Prescott does something that this franchise hasn't done in a very long time. That the argument is lost. So it's just, do you believe it in your heart? Are you willing to kind of fight the internet on this, Tom? Who's the better quarterback in your mind?
The better quarterback is Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts is a heck of a running back.
Does anybody think that Jalen is the superior player?
I think all I give him is he's the better player in 2022. I'll give him that.
That's totally
fair. I mean, but that's as far as it goes.
Kevin offers.
I'll give him that he's better with the RPO because the play calling that is being done in Philadelphia is working for their quarterback. Couldn't say the same for the Cowboys this season and Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore. So,
Okay. One last thing each of you can offer. I told these guys it would be 30 minutes and we're here at the 55 minute mark. And so they're all troopers. So they all win the round table. So that being said, Jess, you get to go first and then you get to pick who goes second. Each of you can say anything you want, whatever. It could be Cowboys related or HUB related or whatever you want at this point.
I just want to say, I know this is a very long off season and it's so easy to sit there and watch the Super Bowl and be like, oh, if the Cowboys were there, you're going to be miserable if you do that. The Cowboys are not there. Trust me, I'm right there with you. I wish they were, but just try to watch the game and not compare it to the Cowboys. I know it's so hard, guys. I do it all the time, but dang, some of y'all are toxic on Twitter and that mute button is becoming my favorite feature. So chill, please. But all that to say, I'm glad to be here with you guys on this lovely Sunday night, and it's been fun. And HEB is a great store, so yeah, you need to go to HEB if you haven't been.
Tom, Danny, I know you both have to go, but that one's hard to beat, and I just want to offer my two cents quickly. I'm not above admitting that in the past I've been, you know, doom and gloom, and I've you know, sort of felt like, oh, the Cowboys suck. I mean, like, if anybody follows me on Twitter, I think that, again, I'll self-own in that sense. I don't know if I've matured. My son is over a year old now, so like maybe I'm just like deeper into fatherhood and like that's what it is. But like, we don't have to do this thing that Jess is talking about. Like, you know, and any turn, any blow of the wind, be like, the Cowboys are idiots. The Cowboys are stupid. Like, it doesn't all mean that. There are mistakes that they made, but like, to act like we live in some reality where they are just, that's why I asked, like, what is the elite thing? I would offer there are multiple elite things associated with this team, but to your point, Jess, they weren't elite or efficient or consistent when it counted. So yeah, we don't have to like take every opportunity as like this prime stage to dunk on them. Those are my two cents. You get to pick who goes next.
Tom, what do you have for us?
I just wanted to chime in on the fact that, yeah, can't we cheer for the players to do better, to have peak performances, to be exciting for them to go out and get some new talent. This is the time of year when you can look for good things. You can hope for good things. Now, we'll see some disappointments, I'm sure. Free agency is coming up. That's almost always guaranteed to be the disappointment for the Cowboys. But to me, this is kind of like, the season's over. I've gotten to take a breath. Now there's a lot to look forward to, you know. And, you know, just about the time I was sitting around today thinking, well, what are we going to write about? Ooh, we got a topic that's going to keep us going for a minute now. And so now all I've got to worry about is the snacks I'm going to be picking up at the grocery store this week so I can have them while I'm not watching the Pro Bowl yet again.
The Pro Bowl skills challenge, to be very clear, Tom, the commercialization behind that has been very, very, very obvious. Wow. Okay. By the way, I think that Mrs. McAllister said the season of perpetual hope is actually Christmas, not the off season, but, you know, whatever. Danny, you're up.
Yeah. I just want to, you know, reiterate what, my, you know, fellow guests have said tonight, and to want to keep things positive. And there's a lot of things to be excited about, you know, covering this team I personally really enjoy the off season. And while it was really sad to hear the news of Kellen, I can't help thinking about, well, what's the Cowboys going to look like next year? Who are we going to get? There's just a lot of possibility. You know, we're going to have another draft and, you know, just kind of add some more young players to this team. You know, it's the time where you get excited for players like Terrence Steele, who, you know, are up and coming. You know, the Cowboys have a lot of those type of players. So there's always reason, you know, to be excited. And I think a lot of fans, you know, we get attached to those emotions that come with how our season ends. And, you know, that sucks. But at the same time, you know, it's a fun ride. And I just hope people are taking time to enjoy the ride because, you know, it's a good time.
My one thing, since none of you asked, was, you know, the Chiefs kind of owe us. Tom, you mentioned this establishment, but we let Kansas City have Whataburger. I know that was like a Patrick Mahomes sort of thing, but we let them have it. All right. I know there's some in Arkansas and Florida and like along the Southeast, you know, areas. But this one, like, you owe us, Chiefs. All right. We improved your life significantly here. So please keep the Eagles at bay. We don't want to have to deal with this. These next 2 weeks are going to be long enough. Kevin did ask, what's my one thing? So I appreciate Kevin. I don't appreciate any of you. Also, I changed my mind about having a roundtable winner. I know I said it would be all of you, but again, that's not going to be the case. Tonight's roundtable winner, Octavia the Cat. Obviously a tough night. You know, hoping Octavia is nice and healthy. Danny, you know, I mean, I want your cat to feel better, obviously. If there was a throw up sort of situation, you know, that's not a good thing. Where were the chicken nuggets from? Again, while we're on the subject of giving, you know, advertisements to non-sponsors.
It was from McDonald's.
Okay. Well, you know, they're good.
So when we go to bed tonight, we can all just picture Octavia the cat throwing
up. What color is she, Danny? What color is her fur?
She is calico. She's all kinds of colors. And she's really old. She wasn't even our cat. My wife found her under the shed and just like she's became our cat. But I think her time is growing near.
Danny, what the hell?
Oh my gosh.
Hey, really you brought her up.
I really, you know, like to need a hug.
At least she's the winner of the round table, you know. That's a good way.
And for our next episode of Depression with Danny, please just tune in next week.
Danny, she has 9 lives. So
I don't know about that.
Wow. That was tough. Tough way to land this plane after that. I have nothing to say. My dog's asleep on the couch. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Loco says Octavia's allergic to chicken. Way to go, man. I don't know. It might be something to do with the like fried part of the nugget would be my
could
guess
be
there.
Yeah.
Kevin though says you always keep it real, Danny. So DJ that. Dog notes that their cat's name is Nutella. That's a really good name for a cat.
My granddaughter's favorite food are chicken nuggets and chocolate bread with Nutella. So, you know, Octavia might be getting some of that later, too. You never know.
Jess, you've picked up some nice compliments here. Cassie, I don't know if this is a friend of yours, says, yeah, go Jess, LOL. So,
thank you, Cassie.
And Carlos says, Jess Navarez is our queen. That is all, LOL.
Very nice. Thank you. Wow. Danny, I just want to say, if you ever want to babysit a puppy who is extremely crazy and you want your hands full, I will send Wit your way. You can have him and you can get all that excitement out. It's a lot.
I appreciate that. I love puppies.
Hey, I want some love for my two dogs that are sleeping on the couch over here to my left.
You've never told us their names, Tom. I think that's
I know. I have the two over here.
Do you want to not dox them? Like, I want to be careful here. Like,
No, they're cool. I mean, they adopted me. They showed up last summer and said, we're living here whether you want us to or not. And they're Persephone and Sirius, and they're my two dogs that have just recently adopted, and they got their names because it goes with my first dog, Odysseus, who's asleep in the bedroom.
Okay, I don't know if it was like a Sirius Black sort of situation. He was a dog too, in a figurative sense. So I guess that reference was lost. This really went all over the place. Shout out to
love that.
All animals win the round table, I guess, is kind of the best way, especially.
I didn't mention Toby. He's asleep over here. I didn't mention Toby, but
yeah,
he doesn't do much.
Wow. Okay. One piece of life advice for Kellen Moore from each of you. Tom, you first.
Grow a beard so you don't look so young.
Dude. Wow. Okay. Danny Phantom, please up this in kindness.
Go easy on the Cowboys when you play them next season.
Wow, that was also negative in a different way. Jess Navarre's one piece of life advice for Glenn Moore.
I wish you the best, and I hope you do what makes you happy.
Mine would be Hags. Have a good summer. Okay, thanks for hanging out, everybody. Go Chiefs. We'll see you next time.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.